Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 299, recorded July 18th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello. 299.
We're almost there.
299 podcasts on the wall. 299 podcasts.
Yeah, that's a lot to fit.
Take one down and listen to it, and then there's still a lot left.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so who do we have today?
We have Linda in San Francisco, Tom in Evesham, UK, and William, who we think is in Florida, but we're not entirely sure. So we'll say William from almost entirely unlike, but not quite, Florida. How about that?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, everyone.
I had to stick in a little Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference there, because I will tell you all, Russ just had his 42nd birthday.
Yay.
And if you have read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know that 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
Yes.
So now Russ is the answer to the universe.
I wouldn't go that far. But
you're the answer to my universe.
Okay, I'll try to go that far.
Okay.
Okay. So I think all of these contributors are new.
I think they are. I don't think we've heard from any of them before. So welcome all. We're glad to have you.
Indeed we are. But before we get on with what our contributors have contributed, I'd like to point out a couple of cool things that have happened since our last podcast. One is that Kelly participated in a fishy rescue mission. She initiated it and carried out the earlier steps of it.
I was mostly just the 911 operator. Russ did the rest.
Well, no, you did a lot. Your contribution was very significant. Okay, well, this is what happened. You can tell it.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Not like I'm all that cool.
I'm the one who's saying all that cool, so you don't have to say that. So you tell the details.
A friend of mine came over and she looked at our goldfish tank and she's like, wow, it's so clear. I said, oh, thanks. And she's like, ours keeps getting all cloudy. I don't know what's wrong. And I asked her, you know, some questions, and the fish tank was a present for her daughter's birthday, but they hadn't done a fish tank before, and they had gone to a certain store that shall remain nameless but rhymes with ball tart. And of course, in that particular location, they did not receive excellent information. So they had a 2.5 gallon with 2 goldfish in it that, you know, they just set up right away and put the fish in. They'd had like a little catfish or something, she said, in there also, which had already died. And of course, the water kept getting cloudy and the fish were pretty stressed out. And of course, you know, it's not their fault. They just, the store gave them bad information. So Russ was at work, so I texted him and said, hey, we need to go do some fish help when you get home from work. And a friend of hers had like a 10 gallon that she was giving her that afternoon, which is still kind of small for 2 goldfish, but it's better than 2.5
right.
gallons. So we just, I don't know, we went over and we helped her set it up and told her all the things about, you need to go get Amquel from the store so they can make it through the cycling process, and tried to explain the cycling process, which is confusing at best. But yeah.
But we did make clear that it's not ideal, that the situation in which the fish were in, mm-hmm. having to be there without a cycle tank was not a great situation, and that preferably she would have set up the tank ahead of time, mm-hmm. and that also 2 goldfish were too much mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. We explained all this very clearly and
which she was
gently.
Happy for the information. Yeah. Yeah. She says, oh, wow, I'm learning so much. So
yeah. And we were gentle about it, but we said, mm-hmm. well, we're going to try to make the best of this situation and help the fish get through it. I brought some filter material from my own filters, filters to
get some bacteria
boost
going.
The bacteria and so mm-hmm. on. So we did that and got some. We ended up using Prime, which helps detoxify ammonia, turning it into ammonium, so it's not as bad on the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up going over there a few
times, setting things up,
teaching them how to do water changes. Mm-hmm. We brought
which was fun because her little girl was really excited about the tank, and
she's like 10 years old.
Yeah, learning at 10 or 11. Yeah,
yeah,
learning how to change the water, and ooh, how often do I get to do that? And
right,
you know, and she was excited about it. So
we brought them a gravel back and mm-hmm. some jugs to use, and they changed the water and different things.
So the fish were looking happier.
So they're doing better. And we hope they survive. They do know that it's not an ideal situation, but we just figured we can greatly improve their chances of survival and improve their living conditions. Mm-hmm. Let's do that and let them know that, if possible, this would be
future,
better to do it this way,
better,
and
yeah,
so on. So we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. So,
oh,
there we go.
There was another cool thing I'd like to point out. We went to the dentist, a new dentist, just the other day, and as we walked in, saw that they had a nice reef tank. And
yeah,
so
pretty.
We set about checking it out and identifying things, and we were looking at, they had a couple of bubble tip anemones, and they had some zoanthids and different types of soft corals, like some mushroom corals and different things. But they also had several fish, including a Procula clown.
Mm-hmm.
But the coolest thing that I thought was that Kelly identified by herself. You go ahead and tell them the fish you identified. Oh, you want me to say it? Okay. She said, is that a blue chromis? And it was. And then she said, that's a hawkfish, isn't it? And lo and behold, it was a hawkfish.
Yay, me.
So I thought that was really cool because, you know, when we got married, you didn't know the difference between
a
Dalmatian Molly and a Danio or whatever, yeah?
It's true.
And now you do. And you also know some marine fish, which a lot of freshwater hobbyists don't even know. I'm not a real expert on marine fish. We've kept marine fish. We had a period of about maybe 5 years during which we kept
nano
marine tanks, really small ones in Hawaii, and then a slightly bigger one, just 10 gallons in back here. But anyway, so we haven't done a lot of it, but we have done it, and most of the marine fish that I know are from snorkeling, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But she actually was able to do that, and I thought it was really cool. So,
you're making me blush.
Well, they can't see it because we're on a podcast.
That's true.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we will go on to our contributors. I'd just like to brag about Kelly once in a while because she does cool things. Okay. There we go.
Okay. Let's go to Linda in San Francisco first.
Okay.
And Linda says, I am one of your weekly podcast listeners and always look forward to new podcasts. Congratulations on your upcoming 300th podcast. Thank you very much. My question is about putting cuttlebone in the aquarium for the benefit of snails. Does anything special need to be done to the cuttlebone beforehand? Do you just drop it in the aquarium? How much is enough? What other kind of fish benefit from additional calcium? Thank you, Linda.
Okay, excellent question. Now, putting cuttlebone in the tank. Okay, so the first question is, does anything special need to be done to the cuttlebone beforehand? Not really. You just break it up into small pieces. And it depends on how many snails you have, how big the tank is, and so on. My go-to size is about a piece about 1 cubic centimeter in size.
So pretty small.
Doesn't need to be exact. But
so
that's,
you wouldn't, like, go buy an entire cuttlebone. You could buy an entire cuttlebone at the pet store, but then you don't just throw the whole thing in. You just break off a little piece.
Right. And it does depend on how many snails you have, and the exact amount is not really critical, because if you put in a small amount and it gets finished really quickly, then you just put in another piece, and you can put in a slightly larger piece. I wouldn't put in the whole piece, and it does depend on what you're doing in the tank. You know, if you have a tank that you want to have very soft water in it, you don't want to dump a bunch of cuttlebone in there, but then in such a tank you usually wouldn't be keeping snails either.
Okay.
So in a tank where you're trying to keep snails happy, just put in a piece. Like I said, cubic centimeter is fine. It will probably not float immediately. It takes a while. It's very porous material, most of it.
Did I say float?
Yeah. I meant it will not sink immediately.
Okay. I was trying to picture it sinking and then floating back up to the top like that. That doesn't make any sense.
Sorry, that was a weird thing for me to do.
That's okay. It's just
words.
Backwards. We all do that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very porous, almost sponge-like in consistency, and so there will be air trapped in between, you know, the interstices of that calcium matrix. So it'll take a while to sink. It might even take a few days. That's fine. But once it sinks, the snails will find it, and you don't really need to treat it. If you found it at the beach, that's one thing. But if you bought it for use with, you know, in a pet store for use with birds, then you probably don't need to do anything.
You might want to give it a
freshwater soak several times and then change it until the water comes out clear.
So you don't get any salt or little critters or anything. You'd be adding
salt.
And
the amount of salt you'd add would probably not be bad, but there might be, like you say, there might be critters or something like that. You don't necessarily want to put in there and then have them die off.
And cause an ammonia spike. And
so if you're lucky enough to be in a place where you can collect them.
Okay.
Yeah, then just I would do something like that. I have collected cuttlebone on the beach once in a while in the past. We never found it in Hawaii, though, did we?
It's been other
beaches, I think. But anyway, so hopefully that helps. Now, what other fish benefit from additional calcium? Well, I can't think of any fish right now that you need to supplement with cuttlebone specifically. I mean, there are fish that need calcium ions in the water. All fish need calcium to some extent, but different fish, you know, they vary in their needs for quantity of calcium and how they get it. Like softwater fish get enough usually from their diet that you don't need to worry about it. Hardwater fish is the same thing. It's in the water, and they most aquatic organisms seem to be able to, as long as there's enough in the water, to pull it from the water. But things with high calcium needs, like snails, you know, you sometimes need to put more in. But generally, you don't have to worry about supplementing fish with calcium per se. Now, other things like crustaceans that use a lot of calcium, once in a while you want to do that. So for crayfish or things like that, you might want to put a small piece of cuttlebone and shrimp and things like that. That might not be a bad thing for certain species. Some species are softwater species. You don't need to do a whole lot with that. But they do require some calcium in their exoskeleton too.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, I don't think you need to worry about it too much. And those are great questions, so thank you, Linda.
Thank you much. Okay, let's go to Tom in Evesham, UK.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hi, Russ and Kelly. I've recently got into the aquarium hobby after being bought a baby bio-orb. So tell us what a bio-orb is.
A bio-orb is an aquarium setup. It's, you know, a proprietary brand that sells several varieties of very spherical tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's an entire setup they sell.
Like
it comes with a filter. It is a globular shape, yes. And it includes you know, integrated filtration that's made especially for it, and it has lighting options that come with it and other things. So there's a baby bio-orb and other sides of bio-orb, and then they have different shapes of tank that the same company makes and so on. So that's what that is.
Okay. He says, I was quickly addicted. Now I'm planning something more ambitious, which is how I discovered your amazing podcast. I'm currently planning a 30-gallon planted tank. I'm planning to buy a small shoal of Pleiades, a few corys, and a pair of dwarf gourami. I've bought some ADA Amazonia plant substrate. I wouldn't have bought such fancy pants aquascaping soil, but it was a tea bargain and I couldn't resist. However, on closer inspection, I realized this will lower the pH of my water. As live bearers prefer slightly alkaline water, should I abandon my plans to get Pleiades? If so, is there any fish you would recommend as a Pleiades substitute without changing my plans too drastically? Most of the plant substrates I've seen tend to be acidic, so how would I create a heavily planted tank for live bearers?
Okay, well, there are several ways that we can look at this. Let's consider, first of all, that it also depends on what kind of water you're putting into the tank and how often you're doing water changes. And that will also have an impact on the pH of the water. But it is very possible to have a planted live bearer tank that's heavily planted without worrying about it in terms of, well, how can I say this? I have had heavily planted live bearer tanks without worrying about the substrate at all much. I mean,
what
I mean is we just using simple gravel.
Okay, they just plant in the gravel. That's a possibility. Okay.
You can do that, but it depends on the plants you use. If you're using things like water sprite or guppy grass or Java fern, Anubias, Java moss, those things, they don't care really about.
They do fine like that.
Yeah, they don't need plant-specific substrate. So you'd be fine. You could do that, okay. And I have done that on numerous occasions for Pleiades and guppies and so on. So if your primary interest is having live bearers and you want it to be heavily planted, you can still do it, but you'll need to use really easy plants, or at least I recommend you use the easier plants, like some of those that I just mentioned. There are others you can use. Hornwort works great in harder water, too, without plant-specific substrate. Anacharis, I've used that, too. So those will give you some ideas. If you would rather keep the substrate and not worry so much about the live bears, and you want to make it a really fun tank that with a big variety of interesting plants, some of which really do a lot better with a plant-specific substrate, and you want one that kind of acidifies the water, then you still have some options, but you might want to steer away from the live bears. I'm not going to say that none of them will work, but as you said, many of them prefer harder water, so and water with a more alkaline pH, I should say. So if you don't want to worry about live bears so much and you want to focus more on the plants and then find fish that'll fit, there are so many fish that could fit, and some of the easier tetras was something I would recommend as a possibility, or danios, or you know, white cloud mountain minnows are another one that would work in a tank like that. So there are also some barbs, you know, you could go with barbs as well. Some of the smaller ones, you said it's a 30-gallon tank, so actually there are lots of barbs and tetras, danios, things like that that would work just fine in a tank of that size with the more acidic water.
Okay.
So
there we go.
Yeah.
Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay.
And thank you for writing in again.
Yes, thank you very much. And if that if that helps, great. If you need a little bit more information, don't hesitate to contact us. Mm-hmm. And let's do the break now.
Okay, let's have a break.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99.
Okay, welcome back. Wasn't that fun and exciting?
Okay, I have to admit, I've been playing with some new software, a new app, I guess I should say. It's a new iPad app that is supposed to make podcast production a lot easier and automated, I guess. I'm just pushing buttons now instead of having to do all this in post-production with the intro.
For a while,
and
we weren't
outro.
Saying let's take a break because we were just recording the whole thing, and then you were post-production and splicing the break.
Yeah, I'd find a space approximately halfway through and just stick it in. And sometimes I wouldn't stick it in at all if the podcast was short.
I actually kind of forgot we had a break until you said, "Oh, we got to do the break again on this iPad."
So now I'm having fun trying this out, seeing if it works, making podcasting easier, because you know sometimes time gets tight, and actually being able to do all that post-productive stuff is difficult. It's hard to find time to do it. So I'm just thinking if I eliminate those steps, maybe I can we can be a little more consistent than we have been for the last month or so. A lot of that has been due to illness and things like that. But anyway, anything I can do to make it a little easier is great.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Should we go to William in probably Florida?
Yes.
Okay. He says, what kind of tank do you recommend for breeding placos? Bare bottom, sand, aqua soil, and what kind of breeding caves are best?
Okay. Well, this was in direct response to a video that I had posted some time ago on bristlenose placos, so I'm fairly confident that that's the species he's referring to, or that's the species complex he's referring to, I guess.
Okay.
And Cistrus genus placos. Well, the short answer is you don't have to worry about it very much, about the substrate. You can do it in a bare bottom tank, which I believe I've done. You can do it in a tank with just about any kind of fish appropriate substrate, really. I've done it in several different types of gravel. It doesn't really matter. They're not picky about that. The things they're picky about, there are things they're fairly picky about or can be picky about, but that's not one of them. Substrate's not one of them. Tank size, I would recommend a minimum of 20 gallons. Some people do 10. You can do it in 10. It's not that hard. It's easier in a 20. It's more space. Fish are happier, I think. So I generally have bred them in 20 or larger, so I think 20 and 55 are the tank sizes that I have bred based on those Placos in, and they do great in both. One nice thing about a 55 is that if you have two males in the tank, they can establish territories on opposite ends of the tank. Mm-hmm. If you have a 20, you should not put two males in it.
Okay.
They will just beat on each other.
At what age do they start getting mad at each other? Like, if you breed them in the tank and mm-hmm. some of those babies are males, how old yeah. are they before they start being aggressive to each other?
Well, the age varies depending on it. We may, how mature, how big, you know. Once they start getting beards mm-hmm. growing on their face,
that are fairly evident,
they'll start being aggressive okay. with each other typically. Also, it's true that in a, you know, the more there are, you might lose some aggression, but then you're going to get overcrowded if you're not careful, because sometimes when you crowd them enough, they don't really stake out territories as much because they don't have the option because there's so many fish in there. But you don't really want to do that. You remember our daughter's teacher, she had a, I think hers was a 55.
And I think it was.
And she had a ton of them there. I'm sure
it
she had
just kept going.
Way more than two males in there, and they were okay, but they had a lot of good hiding places that
they
helps.
They did. She had lots of little caves and things for them. Oh, he wanted to know what's the best kind of breeding yeah. cave also.
Yeah, because a breeding cave is really one thing that Placos can be picky about. They like to have a place, you know, an enclosed space to breed in. And mine, I believe I've spawned them in three different types of breeding caves. One of them was just a naturally occurring, well, they modified it, I'm sure, over time. I had a big piece of Malaysian driftwood mm-hmm. with a cave in it that they dug at and enlarged, because they will gradually gnaw at wood and enlarge caves and things like that. And if you leave a piece of wood in there long enough, it'll disappear because they'll eat it.
Oh, wow.
But, and it depends on how many Placos you have, too. But anyway, they dug a hole in this piece of wood, and I'm sure there was already a naturally occurring crevice in there. They like it kind of tight, and they would breed in there. Another one, you can take a terracotta plant tray, the ones that you put under a pot to catch excess water, so it's fairly, you know, shallow, maybe an inch deep. And then you can chip or use, I like to use like needle nose pliers and chip bits off of it, and then sort of sand the edges so they're not too sharp, or mm-hmm. you know, and I'll set that upside down, inverted on the bottom of the tank, and the fish will swim in there, and sometimes they like that, and it feels tight enough to them to be considered a good place to go. If you don't want to buy something proprietary, you know, for that's made specifically for Placos, something like that can work. You can also make a rock cave, you know, some aquarium silicone and some aquarium safe like slate. You can make a long, thin one that the fish can fit in, but there's not a ton of room in there. They tend to like it kind of tight. But Placo caves are actually available now, and a long kind of squashed tube.
Looks kind of like an ice cream cone.
Kind of like an ice cream cone, but a little, yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. A lot like an ice cream cone. Some of them are a little bit squashed. Mm-hmm. So instead of circular in cross-section, it's more oval.
Mm-hmm.
And it lies on the side so that it's wider from side to side than it is from top to bottom. They tend to like that too. But we have a Placo cave like that. It's just an ice cream cone, basically, an elongated one.
Mm-hmm.
But that one is one that I think we've used more than anything else for the fish to spawn in. They like that. So something like that is a good way to go, and you can buy those. There are several people who just make them, several potters who make them and sell them online. So if you do a search for like Placo cave clay or something like that, Aquabid, there are people on there who sell them. I think the one that we bought ours was called Rosenthal Pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And they also do other types of pottery, not just aquarium-based pottery, but happens to do that as well. And you can get them in different sizes and so on. So that's how it works.
Okie doke.
Yeah. Hopefully that helps.
Helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping so. Let's see.
Anything else?
Anything else? Well, did we mention...
If you want to send us something...
Yeah, we need to mention that for sure. Our next episode is our 300th.
If you want to send us some auditory confetti.
Yeah, you want to send us some sort of sound bite to share.
Have your voice featured on the episode.
Right. We have one so far that has been submitted. It would be fun to have more. So if you want to say anything, even if it's just congrats, Aquariumax, and that's it, that's fine. We would like to hear, though, in it, who you are and where you're from. That would be great. Just like
you could say something you like, or a funny memory from all of these 300 episodes, or...
Or just anything, or just like, wish you the best for the next upcoming episodes, whatever it happens to be. We'd like to hear it. So please do that soon, because we have about a week from the time we publish this. So assuming you're listening to this right after we publish it, you have a week. If you're listening to it late, you have less time. So, because we'd like to collect them into this software and make it so that it's easy for us to just push it and it'll play it digitally without having to get distortion by being played over speakers, because that doesn't really work very well. So we want to be able to insert it digitally into the podcast. So I think that's about it. I'm working on some experiments. I'll tell you a little bit about that, just a little teaser. I'm working on a brine shrimp experiment right now. It seems to be working, but I won't tell you what it is. Well, and that's a secret until later. But it's just something with brine shrimp. I want to see if it works. And yeah, that's it. So I'm going to be posting a video about that, and we'll also talk about it in the podcast if the experiment works. Even if it doesn't, I'll probably talk about it and just say, I tried this, didn't work.
Didn't work.
But from so far, it's been working for the past week or so. So
okay.
Let's hope it keeps going.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's so secret. It's top secret.
I know, you're so mysterious.
It's in that little lab. You have to, there's a certain fish tank. You need to turn off the light and stomp three times on the floor. And then this little panel descends and it goes into the inner sanctum.
Well, now I'm going to have to basement. Go in and see all your secrets.
I know. I've been meaning to tell you about it. I just haven't gotten around to it. So, anyway, that's all for now. Next episode will be 300, so please send your submissions. Not just for the congratulatory, type of submission, but if you have content you would like to include in the podcast, then that's great, too.
Mm-hmm. You could send us pictures of your fish along with for the 300 too.
That's true. Or just post them on our Facebook page or something.
Yeah. So. May the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquariumax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquariumax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquariumax.com.